Coming on, metronome's off, red light's on.
Steve is on.
Here we go.
I mean, I can't help noticing the last couple of weeks, Steve, I've been a little chipper, pleased with the world. Can't help feeling might be tables turned.
I'd say the wheels have come off, but that seems optimistic.
If there were ever wheels on that bloody train, they've definitely come off big time. Fucking believable. So, let's not mess with the order of things, though. Steve, first things first. What did you get up to at the weekend? I should say, Harry, absolutely guaranteed. Funnily enough, last night, after a certain football match, he would definitely turn up today. He very much let us down this time, because we've also got quite a lot of stuff he could have told us that I'm going to have to relay third hand. But yeah, Harry's in disgrace.
Well, as you know, this evening, for those who, you know, were recording prior to Everton-Liverpool, so he's going to be in a pub watching somewhere, surely.
Yeah, but he's still got 2-3 hours before that.
When's that ever stopped him?
No, you're right, he's useless. Absolute wasters. But anyway, back to you, Steve. Did you have a good week?
I've had a very good week, but let's start at the weekend, because, you know, let's ease in.
They start with the non-football week, non-football. Steve. Yeah, the non-football week. What did you get? Now, first of all, you know, old sniffly Steve, how are you feeling? Have you managed to shake off the tiny little cold that you've been suffering
from? I'm quietly confident I'm not going to cough at anybody this week.
Good. No coughing. Good.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. I'm about 90%, which is at least 50% more than this podcast needs.
Exactly.
But, you know, although, because I'm not quite over it, so it was a very low-key weekend.
Yeah, you didn't go crazy.
Because we're refusing to have a summer in this country.
That's quite chilly, isn't it?
That's
and
right.
Of course, the Gypsies turned off the outdoor heating, hasn't it, Steve? Sitting here shivering.
Yeah,
interesting,
so
no one here.
Not
even a couple of lushes that always spend an hour and a half in a bottle of Prosecco slating their company.
Give them an hour.
Hopefully they'll be back, because we like hearing people more miserable than us.
But yeah, so very low-key, I went and just spent an hour or so watching the rhinos running around Westminster for the marathon on Sunday.
You see, I think I've got a guilty admission to make. I have never bothered to go and watch any part of the marathon.
Well, I had a few friends
I
mentioned. Yeah, I had a few friends that I said I was going, and like you, they'd never been before. So they give you this very bamboozled kind of, what are you doing? You're just going to stand at a street and watch people running past who you would on any other day be shouting at because they're running on the pavement.
Getting in the way.
But
I do get, I mean, I've heard enough people say how amazing it is, as both spectators or runners saying how amazing the crowd is for them, because
that's, if you like live sport, you'll appreciate the banter of the British public.
Yeah. Well, it's one, because I was in Manchester, which we'll come to later, and it was a local story, was this, I don't know if you, it was a national story, but this person was in fact a northerner. She basically dressed up as a poo emoji and ran the marathon like that. And of course, she said she ran around a corner and all of a sudden 500 people were chanting something like, "Go on poo, go on poo," and so you know. So and she said, and she's a doctor, she's doing it because she's an expert in, you know, poo problems, bowel cancer or something. So it's very good that I see now, there's smart people spotting and coming up with instantaneous chance of support.
It's like a live football crowd or cricket crowd. You just have that instant banter. One of the runners who seemed to have got a lot of the media attention was the guy who had decided to drink some wine after every mile.
Oh, no, I didn't see him. I thought we were going to talk about Fridge Man.
No, there's so many. That's the whole thing. I didn't actually see the wine guy myself, but apparently after every mile he had a...
Yeah, so he didn't even notice the wall.
So by mile 20, God knows what state he was in.
That's the beautiful thing for him. He said, it's not a wall, it's just my usual walk home, crossing.
I don't even think he meant to be in the marathon.
Yeah, exactly.
I think someone just slapped a number on him. And,
yeah, said, you're in it. Good. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. I have never done it, and it's not that I'm... I get it. It's just one thing I never quite... You've got to commit, I suppose. I suppose what would help is if somebody I knew well was doing
it. You'd never realistically see them, because there's so many... I think a good comparison is there's a lot of people that can take or mostly leave cricket.
Yeah.
But when you go and you sit in the crowd and you've got your pints or you've got your inflatable banana, It's just funny.
It's very funny. And I must have mentioned this before, but I felt guilty. I was at the... And if you're a cricket fan, you know, but everyone else looks blankly. 2005, last test of the Ashes series, last day of the Ashes series, that my mate Matthew had booked in something like March for a tenner. And this was notorious because England won the Ashes for years and years and years. And so all of a sudden, this was the bit, and it was all in the balance of the last day of the last test, which never happens. And of course, we were there feeling sheepish because people were saying, yeah, I got my ticket under Vauxhall Bridge last night for 300 quid. We're like, yeah, we're absolute charlatans. We should be. And it was famous because it was the one where they obviously won, England. And then, you know, Freddie Flintstone and all the others were absolutely, you know, they partied all night and then got invited to number 10 down. Arsehole. But anyway, I get it, cricket. I have been to that enough to know that that's really good fun, not least, of course, Steve, because it is, in fact, 9-10 hours of drinking, depending on how long.
And you haven't experienced life unless you've seen somebody somewhat intoxicated falling asleep at cricket and then the people around them playing Jenga or sort of buckaroo and they're just loading things onto them to see if they move.
It only ever happens
in cricket, like it might happen somewhere else.
But yeah, but nowhere else has that let the time for them to snooze off.
It would be fantastic to see that at Wimbledon or something.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen. There's too much going on. And like you say, cricket is I've seen people, miss the whole thing. I remember one guy in front of us from that Barmy Army, they got really pissed and then they obviously went round the back to have a sort of quick spliff just before the end. And when he came back, he tried to high-five someone and just missed and fell over. Absolutely priceless. And then they left. They left about half an hour early, but it was sort of apparent England were going to win. I said, that's a bit much, isn't it? I said, yeah. Well, they had to go because they've got about 2 hours to catch a flight to Ibiza. And I thought, there's no way those people are getting on a plane. They were so hammered. They couldn't even stand up. But you know, it was different times. They probably got wheelchairs and sort of wheeled onto the plane back then. Anyway, good. That's good, the marathon. Anything else? Do you do anything other?
No, it's all very low key. What about yourself?
Yes, that's rather disappointing. Actually, no, let's get started. Very nice Friday.
I've just remembered part of your weekend.
Yep. Wedding with a Friday, very fun Friday. Down to Groucho. Nice dinner with old friends of Gemma's that she worked with. Very pleasant, very sophisticated. Got home. Woke, did lots of battling off chores, keeping Gemma happy. Because at 2:30, Steve, off we went to the Czech bar. We decided not to go to Nigel's boat, because that's not been very lucky, because we've not scored a goal at Wembley Bridge, Steve. I think it's about 7 hours now. And so we thought we'd mix it up, go to the Czech bar, which was where we used to go back in the days when we used to go to do something unusual at Wembley Bridge, which was A, score a goal, B, win the match. Back at those misty mists of time when we used to do that. So we thought we'd change it. Czech bar, funny enough, sells Czech beer, quite a strong Czech beer. That was helpful as well. Left there at 5:20, cutting it fine, but literally sat on our steps. Admittedly, we got in the wrong row, so there was a bit of confusion about our seats, but got in our seats literally as they kicked off. So we're like elite force now. Mind you, a nasty policeman took our beers off us as we were walking down Wembley Way. So I was just finishing mine, because I thought the rule is, okay, this is the point where there's no more beer left. So I was just finishing mine. This young whippersnapper grabbed, I mean, I finished it, but he grabbed it off me. And this steward was laughing, and I said to him, well, it's just rude, isn't it? It's just rude. And he was really laughing. Rude policeman. Anyway, off we went. And despite that, we got our celery in, Steve. But for the fourth or fifth match running, no excuse to throw the celery around, because we didn't score a goal. It was utter, and again, a bit like against the thieving Scousers, at no point did it look like we scored a goal. I think Jackson, he's about as lethal in front of goal as I am. And I am shite in front of goal. And it was just astonishing. I don't know if you watched it, you've probably watched it for pure comedy, thinking, this will be funny one way or the other.
Well, I watched it, and again, it was that situation of, I don't really know. I think deep down, City were the obvious choice to win.
Yeah, they were favourites because they know how to score goals.
But also from a personal, I mean, look, I don't particularly care, but I think I was leaning towards City on the basis of...
Because you're a nasty piece of bitter goonery.
Chelsea's demise is quite funny.
I must say, I could get it as I could see from an outsider's perspective. it's comedy gold how we've managed to cock up.
Because not just that, but also, we won't stray too far from Chelsea for obvious reasons. But the assumption was Man United would walk the other semi-final. And I quite like the idea of City sort of spanking United at Wembley.
Yeah.
A, because it's going to be quite funny to get loads of Manx stuck on a train.
Yeah.
Trying to get
presumably
home.
they'll be striking straight away as left, won't they?
So yeah, I'm sure they've already planned it for FA Cup final.
Yeah.
And no one wants United or Chelsea to really win.
I know. I get it. I totally get it. And it was funny in that it was so bad. I by now, by the sort of halfway through the second half, I'm starting to think, oh my God, we're going to have extra time and they'll win right at the end. Or worse, penalties, and they'll win the penalties because, that's definitely going to happen. But then I started thinking, I don't care. None of that I care about. I just want us to score a goal. All I want is a goal. So I think I started just shouting that rather aggressively. Just score a bloody goal. I don't care whether we win or not. And then, of course, inevitably, Silva scores with 4 minutes to go. I mean, people neutral said, well, actually, probably Chelsea were the slightly better side because they didn't have a exit from the Champions League on Wednesday and extra time to contend with. And it was just, you just knew we were never going to score. There's inevitability about it. It's very miserable. But wasn't that miserable. Scott and Nige and I had a laugh. Nige got refused entry because he got caught. We got separated going in. Nige got caught. They found his celery and they confiscated it. But then, because Nige is an idiot, they also caught, accidentally, he lost his ticket as well. So we went to the ticket thing. He didn't have his ticket. So Nige didn't get in for about 20 minutes in.
How did he get in?
I don't know. I think in the end, such a bumbling idiot that they just thought, I sent him a selfie of me with his empty seat. I don't know if he actually used that. But in the end, he got in. But yeah, somehow, and probably haven't checked since, probably wished he hadn't. But yeah, so that was Saturday. Sunday, it was just quite civilised, actually. Walks, trying very hard to forget that I support Chelsea and ignore all the happy little messages I was receiving from people. Quite starting to relate to Nathan, because Nathan, remember he said he switched off when they beat Liverpool in the quarterfinal. Remember he switched off all his WhatsApp announcements because he knew he'd just be getting bantered into oblivion. And then, of course, found out the next day that they'd actually won. Maybe I should start doing that because I knew we'd lost and there was nothing to miss out on. But then, actually, the bigger issue, I mean, having said that, Grealish did handball in the area and somehow VAR decided that was okay. I don't understand how that happened. However, in terms of crimes of VAR against football, Coventry's was just disgraceful. Was that ever what VAR was supposed to do?
Now, I was actually chatting to a friend about this afternoon. And is there, I'm not talking about Wembley specifically, but let's just say in general, do we have some kind of privileged view that what we've seen in places like Serie A definitely couldn't happen in English football? Because was that decision not a bit dodgy?
Really dodgy. And somebody was saying, but they shouldn't even looked at it because it was so marginal. And my understanding, but maybe I misread this, but the whole point of VAR was to correct obvious errors of judgment, obvious errors. Now, a toenail, or whatever that was, is not an obvious error. If you got an advantage from it, like, what's an advantage? 2 foot? Fair enough. He didn't get any advantage. It was a toenail ahead.
Well, some are suggesting it's not even a toenail and that the lines were not necessarily in the accurate.
But also, there's that point, isn't there? At what point was the line drawn? Was it when it left the foot, when he touched the foot? Because there's kind of half a second time. Anyway, the whole thing was an absolute disgrace because that would have been the best story ever.
I mean, you've opened up a can of worms because I have so many gripes with football at this moment in time. From that offside, which clearly was an offside, I have a massive issue with Ten Hag coming out and deciding that the media were the embarrassing.
Win, I haven't listened, you'll be surprised to hear, Steve, but what on earth did Poch have to say for himself? I mean, what did he have to say for himself after the FA Cup? I definitely didn't watch any of it. I mean, we haven't gotten to the even more entertaining
You won't
Chelsea
be shocked
game.
That I didn't stick around for Poch's post-match.
Also, again, it's sort of reflecting on this. Why? We talked about this a few times here. Why have we what exactly have we employed a manager with a sort of a reputation of not winning? I mean, I'm surely, I get
it. Because you're Chelsea.
No, we do tend to do the opposite. We hire people who have got, like Mourinho had just won the Champions League. We tend to do the opposite, the blatantly obvious. Ancelotti, we go to managers because they've won. But the last two, Potter and Poch, and they both begin with P-O. What are we playing at? Because neither of them won anything. Tuchel had won something, funny enough, won something with us. All the previous ones, with a couple of exceptions. And then, therefore, we were one of the most successful teams in the last 20 years. And then we've started to go for either unproven winners, Potter, just a good manager at a lower team, or proven not winners, Poch, who managed to not even win the league in France, which is astonishing.
I feel some of that might be Arsenal's doing, because they've shown how you can take somebody with no managerial experience and be quite successful.
Work.
Obviously, we've seen it with Leverkusen, with Alonso to a...
Yes, I get it. But again, you're right. We tried Super Frankie Lampard.
But even if you go for the serial winner, who do you go for? I mean, who's the obvious? There isn't really anybody. You've had Ancelotti, so you're not going to go back to him. You kind of had them.
I wonder what Sepp's up to. He doesn't seem to be having much luck up there, does he? Maybe we'd come down, offer him enough money. But yeah, so I think that was bad. But I think we may as well go into it now, because even more... more shocking, but I was absolutely not surprised, because Jack, Monday Night Football Jack, sent a picture. He was going to the Emirates. Did you go?
I did, yeah.
He sent a picture. He said, oh, I didn't read it properly, but he actually said, are you here, Bruce? But I just saw he was there. And I said, I think if I were you, I'd be quietly confident after Saturday performance. But then, that was before I realised Cole Palmer wasn't playing, and I said, well, I've just checked. I'd be very confident if I were you, because we haven't even got the chance he might unlock a couple of goals. But so I didn't have any expectation at all. I've got to be honest, I didn't quite see it being 5-0. But we are just...
Now, when it comes to managers being deluded, does Pochettino coming out before the game and saying, this is a chance to prove we're not a one-man team?
Is that what he said?
That's what he said about Palmer's absence. You know, let's prove we're not a one-man
obviously
team.
Obviously are a one-man team. I think whatever he says, you almost think he's almost... I mean, to be fair, maybe that's always the case if you lose. You're always going to sound like an idiot, whatever you said, unless you said, yeah, we're definitely going to lose this game, which would be odd for a manager to say that about their team. But I just don't feel... I just think the whole changing up the defence, that actually, to be fair, against City, play quite well. And to just sort of do things... is Palmer injured? That was the other thing.
He was ill.
Was ill. Yeah. He's sick of playing with a bunch of charlatans.
I mean, he was ill, but he was ill in the same way
I felt a bit
you
sick.
Would want to be ill, knowing that you don't really want to be on a pitch against that Arsenal team.
It's like he's ill the way Roy Keane, when it really went badly for Man United, you notice he'd always get sent off.
Look, he didn't want to go to the hassle of getting warmed up, having to put on a freshly ironed shirt to get two touches of the ball.
Yeah. To get absolutely spanked. Mind you, somebody said, I didn't watch it, I refused to. I watched the first 4 minutes. Oh, for fuck's sake. And it was, he's a great player, Rice, but again, old Chelsea old boy. Havertz, Chelsea old boy, 2 goals. I mean, you just wondering why you bought him. Fucking great player.
Well, I've changed my mind to the extent that even though he's been good consistently, I now can see a great worth of buying players just so that they can perform against their old clubs.
And Chelsea, there's a win-win there. I think the thing about him as well, I don't know who his first second, but it was a good goal, actually. He sort of pushed off Cucurella or something, but it was a good goal. He thought that's... And he has got a bit of fight in him, Havertz. Everyone says he's a bit of a drift-in, drift-out. But when he gets a chance, if he doesn't get too much time to think about it, he's got an instinct. Well, let's compare him to Jackson. Jesus. Had been Jackson, he'd have just wandered off towards the goal, the corner line, corner stick.
Well, the one thing yesterday definitely was a good reminder for was, okay, look, you want to win trophies, we want to win the title, but there's a lot of little moments in football, and you're not going to see someone play like Odegaard did yesterday very often. No. Everything was sublime.
Yeah.
It was like, he was starring in it.
It was a bit slow motiony as well, wasn't it?
He was just starring in his own movie. Everything was
a sign. Yeah.
And I did. I just looked at it afterwards. I was just like, you know what? Sometimes you just have to think that was special.
You do. I mean, I haven't watched it completely, but a lot of people said actually, whilst Chelsea weren't great, it was a lot of it. Arsenal were very good, and people don't believe it, but deep down, I got a lot of trouble from Ed at the pond because he's the door. You know, he checks the tickets at the pond. Who's a Chelsea supporter? And I said, but the thing is, Ed, no one wants the squeaky.
That's Arteta saying, what did you think of my tactics?
Do you need to get that? Is that important high power meeting? He said, yeah, but I said, to be honest, no one wants the squeaky Scousers to win. He goes, no one wants the Scousers to win it. But he said, but I don't know any City supporters, so I don't care if they win it. And he's young, so I get it. But I said, to be honest, I do know one City supporter, and he's quite nice, Tony. Don't mind, he plays on Monday night. But the fact is, I know a lot of my friends are goons, and whilst I will regret it the minute it happens, I sort of rather they won it than, especially City, because I don't like Pep. I don't like him at all, and it'd be quite nice because, you know, a lot of my friends will have a nice little warm, sort of gooey feeling.
And what did you think? Did you see the pictures of the young Chelsea fan at the Emirates holding up his sign?
I don't want your shirt. I want you to fight for it. What a star.
I want you to want to fight for ours. And I looked at that and I thought, that's one of those.
How old was he? I read about it. I didn't see the photo.
I mean, I'd be amazed if he was more than 10. He looked very
good
young.
Good lad. He's right. And he's absolutely right.
As has been pointed out, the first thing I thought was, this is a sign that you've made prior to getting there. So this is really on your mind.
You have seen. I think
match warm-up was to write this sign.
He probably saw. It's interesting, yeah, because actually, to be fair, because somebody was saying, is that true you've unbeaten in 8 games? I said, well, yeah, if you take out trips to Wembley Bridge, because we lost those two, but all the league games, we haven't lost, we've drawn against Sheffield United and Burnley, so we've got to keep it in perspective. But I think it is a kind of shambles, and it is that fact of lack of fight. I mean, it was bizarre. I watched the Everton game, and for some reason they were fighting at the end. 4-0, 5-0. So you think, well, why come they're fighting then and not against Man City at Wembley?
Yeah, I felt a slight...
Mind you, they weren't that bad against City, to be fair.
I mean, I don't want to say a tinge of uncomfortable, but there was just something. They asked Gallagher about the boy's sign, and I thought that was probably a bit unfair because, A...
probably wasn't aimed at him.
You're asking the one player who does look
fight.
Like...
No, you're right. Fighting. He does run.
And B, what's he going to do in coming... I mean, I'd love it, but he's never going to come out and say, look, player A mopes around in training, so I'm not surprised when you put him on the pitch.
How he gets a game, Christ knows.
Yeah, I don't see Jackson scoring in training.
Gilchrist, he's obviously going to care. They saw him scoring his goal against Everton. Almost in tears. And actually, sometimes I think we do put effort in it. I don't think it's actually that they don't fight so much. It's like some of them are just not up to it, really.
Well, I said to you off before we started recording that the line that's really getting under my skin is this. It's a very young squad it's inexperienced and they're learning. Because I think if your learning experience is getting turned over every other week, why do you have this thought process that at some point that makes you a winner?
Yeah, there's no sense of progression, and it is now. The fact is, though, it's interesting, isn't it? Because actually, you could say if we hadn't been tonked by Arsenal, say it had been 1-2, they'd say, "Well, that's Arsenal. They're one of the best teams in the league. Come off a disappointment, semi-final loss, all that." You'd be carrying on with it, but so maybe that's the point. Because actually, our results haven't been that bad. We have had some quite good. We drew with City, blah blah blah, but. There is something about being totally rolled over that does question things. We've all seen it. Good teams get rolled over and all of a sudden it's an absolute shambles. But I just don't... And what's even funnier, actually, because remembering back to the Man United winning, like Nathan said, I'm not celebrating... On WhatsApp said, I'm not celebrating that. There was a sort of collective disgrace. Collective sense of disgrace. I met somebody up in Manchester, Man United supporter. He said, yeah, we're just... we're just, you know, shamed by going through.
There's a clip, isn't there, of, is it, so I think Anthony, who's sort of cupping his ear towards the Coventry players after the winning penalty. And I've had so many United fans message me saying, we've managed to embarrass ourselves and then put a layer of embarrassment on top of that.
A cherry of embarrassment on top of the cake.
And I can't remember who scored the winning pen. I don't know who it was. No one cares.
No.
But he ran off celebrating. It might have been McTominay or someone, whoever it was. And he turned around and then realised the players weren't coming towards him.
Because really?
They just want to get off the
off
pitch.
Off the pitch.
You know, they've completely had a VAR decision skank in their favour, because it was definitely onside.
Now, you're right. I mean, it was a shame, because Coventry City, great story, 3-0 down, came back, brilliant. So, as always, though, football fucked up. However, football was the winner, Steve, on Monday night. So, it's a tinge with sadness, this, because as we've talked about on several occasions, the Gypsy Queen legends that play on a Monday night football, almost all of them have been on this podcast. Finally, the Tipping the Velvet may actually come from Tapping the Admiral team turned up and didn't wimp out on Monday night. I'm in Manchester waiting to go to the Man City ground in some sort of tortured, someone out there is trying to kill me. So I wasn't even there. However, I thought Harry would turn up because he was there. I've got lots of WhatsApp messages, so I can sort of not do it justice properly, but apparently pretty much 4 goals up for the entire game. It ended 12-8, which was obviously a proper football score. None of this nonsense we have to listen to watch. So actually, in the end, Gospel Oak, triumphant. Now, it was in their home ground, and I'm now slightly anxious, there is going to be an away leg at their patch, which, again, I guess it's got to be at Castlehaven, hasn't it? If they're tapping the Admiral.
Yeah, Castlehaven's got to be there. No red cards?
No red cards, no referee. And John Lawler wasn't involved. Guaranteed some violence. Apparently, I don't know, and Harry was supposed to be delivering this stuff, but it felt quite good-natured. There's a photo that I think I've already put up on the Instagram. What's that called, Steve?
Instagram.
No, the R one.
Ours is the No Clean Sheets podcast.
Your talk. You've not even been doing that recently. We
haven't,
have
we, really?
But that is up there. It's all on story or photo of them, and they look quite good lads, actually. I mean, some of them so committed elite athletes like we are on Monday Night Football. But presumably these photos after the game, definitely after the game, because all the R lads are smiling, as are some of them. But also some of them are in jeans and coats and drinking cans of Pils and Urkel, I think, if I got the photo right. So they're obviously athletes after our own heart. Now, I don't know if they all came back here to celebrate, but there's an away leg planned in June. Now, of course, Steve, quite concerned. Because if I am around for it, which I 90% will be, now, of course, it's, well, we won the first game, Bruce. If we lose the second game, what changed? You bumbling about like an idiot on right back.
It is remarkable how you've managed to make that about you.
It's good, isn't it? You sound like Gemma saying things like that.
It's quite possible that you can turn up and play badly and they still win.
No, you're right. I can't play that bad. And also, they basically had pretty much, you know, sort of, what, we're not, I think it was 7-a-side and there were like 14 players, so you only get on for a few minutes anyway, so basically I'll be put on and hoiked off. And
we don't know the dynamics about ringers and players that have suddenly returned.
We are, as I can vouch for, because I saw them, they are all definite regular players for us. Theirs, who knows? I mean, they all look slightly dodgy, as we've talked about before. They all look like they're slurping bathwater for a living. Those boys, they're very suspicious. But I don't know if any of them are ringers. There's a couple, they look quite similar demographic. You know, some old boys. I don't think any of them look quite as old as our old boys, but they had some definitely older ones and some younger ones. But then I don't look at our younger ones and I happen to know people like Harry and Nathan and Kieran. Actually very, very good at football. Even Jack.
Well, it's good that you've really put yourself in the middle of the target zone for the reply, for the return leg.
That's the other thing. Well, that's the other thing. I'm slightly worried because I have on numerous occasions been quite a key member of the goading of the Tapping the Admiral.
And how did you put it? They drink their own bathwater.
I've never really covered it. Have you seen Saltburn?
I have.
Yeah.
never yeah. quite got over that scene.
Yeah, to be fair, that's it's up there.
So I quite liked it. I don't know why I got excited about it, but that was in my head. I haven't been able to stop repeating it. But that's why they didn't they cancelled, because they were slurping each other's bathwater. And I've gone on about it too much now. So, yeah, actually thinking about it, I'm going to have to arrange another work trip. So I'm not with
I've got a feeling late. Someone's definitely going to be in Manchester.
But, yeah, but that is well done, the lads. Because it's funny, because we play... You know, it's a friendly, you know, it's competitive, but it's just, we could pick two sides every Monday. And the one person there, I think it was Tim, White Noise Tim, said, I think just getting the gist of it from the WhatsApp messages, that that was the first proper competitive game where, you know, it's another side against your side that he'd ever played in. Which, I mean, he's quite a good player, Tim. Can't believe he didn't play at school or something.
And 12-8.
12-8.
That's a proper William Ellis playground kind of.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. There's not, I think once we played a game and it was half an hour in, it was 0-0.
And Harry played.
Harry played, oh yeah, Harry
played. So we assumed he scored, probably.
I'd have thought so. Harry's, Harry is...
And still didn't join us to gloat about it.
But what do you mean exactly? What on earth is he playing at? But yeah, it was good. Now, Steve, I'm thirsty. I mean, you're obviously caning it. I'm just going to cause... I'm tempted to leave you talking, mumble. just 10 minutes from Steve on how much fun he had last night.
I'm reliably informed that the demand for that is coming in thick and fast.
Yeah, lots of requests.
You know, I could just chat to Harry, I suppose.
You could talk to Harry. You could just impersonate Harry. Right.
The thing is that just going back on itself... Oh, yeah. There's a bit of a metronome there, but we're fine. Here we go, Steve. Second half. It's 1-0, all to play for.
It's not often you hear that these days.
So, what was I going to say? God, shit, I was about to say something to you when I came in. Just been mocked at the bar. Somebody asked me who I supported and then laughed. I mean, we're just figures of fun now, Steve.
I mean, I didn't ask, but we should probably... I mean, how does it feel watching a £500 million midfield combo get torn apart by...
It's sort of... You know what? Bizarrely, it was more irritated and upset because I went, I suppose, on Saturday than last night. Because last night I sort of thought... And Scott didn't say it on Saturday, but Scott said at the Liverpool game at Wembley, he said, you know, I think maybe we want to lose because I want Poch out. We didn't really mention that on Saturday. But maybe this is the point. But then as somebody... hysterically mentioned on the Monday Night Football WhatsApp, is Poch on an 8-year contract like everybody, every other really?
Well, that is actually
there.
One of the suggestions is that Chelsea couldn't afford to
sack
him. I mean, I can't imagine.
We just have to sell all our, like, yeah. Cole Palmer, Gallagher, Reece James, basically all the good ones we'd have to sell to turn a profit to sack the idiot manager.
I'm actually really looking forward to this summer because I just feel...
Us and
there's
going to
be so many strange things, like players that you wouldn't expect. You know, if you're of a certain age, growing up and seeing a player go to Madrid or Barcelona was just the norm.
Yeah.
But of course, the money's in the Premier League now, so yeah. That's not like everyone's talking about how well Odegaard's playing, and how this could be. Oh, he's going to be on this radar, but actually, no. Look, Arsenal are competitive with their wages. You're in a fantastic.
Yeah, you don't, because you always used to get into trouble when you had a wage structure. Another brilliant idea of Wenger's, no doubt. And I didn't get that mentioned anymore. Is that because you binned the wage structure because it wasn't working?
No, we've had our fingers burnt putting players on, and then pretty much like, you know, we were doing what Chelsea are doing now, you know, putting
really?
Players on massive contracts.
Oh, yes, who was it you had?
Like, we had Ozil and Sanchez, Ozil, yeah. We tried to look at, and. But yeah, no, it's great fun seeing a £140 million midfield. We get to the point where a £250 million midfield
yeah.
combo couldn't touch the ball.
Exactly. I'm glad you're not pretending yours was two and sixpence.
I mean, it's half
it's
the price.
It's not a cheap one. It's not a cheap one.
It's not cheap.
Rice's. Actually, he was 110 million.
You have
to catch yourself when you say them, don't you? 110. We've got a couple of those, but they're not Declan Rice. That's the
and
problem.
When. I mean, you didn't see because you. Did the right thing in boycotting it.
Yeah.
But when you hear that at 5-0 down you bring on Thiago Silva to go five at the back,
I know exactly.
Is that the boost that you need?
That's it. We're just, I think, just to shore up this rather reassuring 5-0 Tonking. Just terrible. But yeah, I don't know how we got back onto that. I think we definitely spent more time on that than was necessary. But we're back. Yes. But more excitingly, I think, as I said, Monday Night Football went well. And of course, Leicester pretty much secured their return.
One win away. But then was it you that said it or somebody mentioned their wage bill compared to...
Oh, no, that wasn't me, but it will be high,
and
won't it?
And it was something like £60 million or something ridiculous.
More
than and you realise that essentially, with the whole parachute payment and the money the club had already, it's essentially a Premier League club running in the Championship. They're doing a Man City, basically.
And presumably it's a bit like Leeds, isn't it? Leeds are there or thereabouts. The only other one that isn't that is it's Ipswich now, isn't it? It's the three of them. Well, yeah, it's the three of them still in the running. Ipswich, I think, could, if they won their games, will get promoted over Leeds. But they're not, they haven't been, when was the last time they were in the Premiership? Ipswich. I feel like it was a while ago.
This feels like a question for someone that collects Panini sticker albums. Feels like one of the very early doors, isn't it?
But they, I think, I mean, I know, despite the fact we all fucking hate Leeds, I like want Leeds back up so we could A, sing that song, but B, they're a sort of, you know, they're an entertaining team to play, Leeds. Now, deep down, it's one of my things I feel I should do, which is go and watch Chelsea at Elland Road, because I found on very good authority that's a lively trip.
Definitely, I mean, look, there's some clubs, they add a different... I'm definitely a fan of less London clubs in the Premier League.
Yeah.
That's a
is
bit...
it Nick 7 at the moment? Is that right? Does somebody say that? And I've got to bother to count
it. Feels ridiculous. I do feel like it's a dynamic. I've always, like some people, felt winning the league from as a London club is a lot harder than.
Yeah.
Well, not if you play Chelsea.
We could do with a few more Chelsea.
Too much passion. We draw with you
Well, I had a friend message me yesterday, and there's like, I can't, you know, doing the double over Chelsea, we deserve. To win the league alone for that because it's good, and I was just like, we didn't. Everyone feels like we beat you away because
you're late.
But it was 2-2, and we got the goalkeeper. Was it Declan Rice put it in from ridiculous distance after the keeper fumbled the clearance?
That's it. He sort of passed it to Declan Rice, didn't he?
Yeah,
he
just lobbed it. Look, we should have taken 3 points against this Chelsea team every time.
Well, exactly.
But
bizarrely, in a funny way. Yeah, I mean, I wonder. I don't think, like you say, I don't quite know what they're going to do about it, but I think it will be interesting because our next game, actually, is away to Aston Villa. But as you know,
you wouldn't be shocked if you won that, though. That's
but we could be that. But then the next game, which I cannot go to because it's Bruce and Mistake, my birthday, is Tottenham at home, which I would go to because that, you know, almost.
Surely, as a birthday
Tottenham.
Gift to yourself, you go to that game.
I would be a birthday gift to myself, but as I said, it's not. Because it's basically more of a festival. I've bored you with this before. So Bruce Smith used to do, because I'm such a tragic narcissist, used to announce it because my birthday is always around that first spring May bank holiday. But then, you know, that was when I was like 17 to 25 and I sort of almost stopped. But then I spotted that Days and Rufus weren't showing any interest in my birthday when they got to about, once they got to about 7 and 8. So to Gemma's horror, I started to announce it was Bruce Smith's day and buy them Bruce Smith's presents. I don't buy them their birthday presents. Gemma buys all the presents for Christmas and birthday. I buy them a Bruce Smith present, which worked. They showed real interest in Bruce Smith. But anyway, the fact is, it's not about me. It's more of an event for the family. So I don't think, well, I'm not going. So it's quite sad. So that means I've got to, so I'm up against that actually, because the next game I've got is the West Ham on sort of bank holiday Monday. And that's at home. And then I think that's pretty. I think we've got one more game at home. We're all running out of time.
It's all getting.
It's all getting a bit.
It's all getting there.
Every game matters. Well,
every
not for us,
matters.
It doesn't, because we're shy.
But for you, who have you got? You've got Tottenham at the weekend.
We've got Tottenham at the weekend, and then obviously.
At Tottenham.
Yeah.
Tricky.
No, but we shouldn't. Just so that we have at least 10 seconds to fulfil our fantasy football
tag.
Right.
You notice I'm not mentioning it because therefore...
You're not, but I've got to ask. How does it feel that something like 40 points of the 55 you're going to have come from Arsenal players on Tuesday.
Oh shit, yeah, you're right. I think so. Funnily enough, Steve, despite running around desperately trying to look like I was bona fide functioning father and husband on Saturday, and then I got a WhatsApp from Piers going, Bruce, you know, Deep Purple Piers, goes, Bruce, just to let you know, it's a double game week.
Oh, it's nice that he gives you the heads up.
Gives me a heads up to get it sorted. And I said, yeah, shit, I've got to do something because I haven't done anything. And then, of course, I didn't. I missed it. So I didn't make any adjustments. But having said that, you're right. I think the only ones helping me out of the situation are the goons. Because not only that, because I had Palmer in, I think, unless I don't understand this, which I don't technically, but I think I'll get Palmer will be switched out for Saka, so I'll get 9 points. Then in Anderson, I'll get switched out for Pedro or Chilwell, so definitely switched in. So yeah, I might do all right in the end. And De Bruyne will become my captain because Palmer didn't play. So I could end up all right. I'm still a point above average.
Yeah, look, there's been some massive scores this week. For once, I don't care. I really don't care who scores what.
It's funny how fantasy only really comes into it when the real world isn't working out for you, Steve.
So you got Villa away, I suspect.
Which explains why you're so into fantasy, I've now realised. Because you've had to rely on fantasy over the last 20
well,
years.
Well, when you've got an incompetent manager, as you're now discovering...
It's hard.
On a weekly basis.
It's time to look up for a made-up one.
You use fantasy football as your therapy to say, well, this is what you should have done.
This is, as I thought about when we first started this idea back in August, and I like this sort of double meaning of the word fantasy, and it works in so many levels, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're exactly. Right. I no longer have to
fantasy is only really necessary if reality isn't quite what you hope
for. Yeah, I don't have to do Arteta's job for him. He seems to be doing okay without my help.
Are there some of the emojis, or whatever they're called, or the gifts, what they call? Anyway, somebody got me one where Arteta's doing some sort of, he's tapping his nose. Turkish Armit sent it to me, asking, God, this is just beyond a joke. I remember now, because goons, we talked about this last week, the week before, they're just miserable, whinging. And now it's all starting to come back. They get smug, happy, cheerful. It's all about the team, isn't it? That are starting to
We've got Spurs, obviously, Sunday. Spurs are desperate to get this DVD out, so they're going to be trying to beat us more than ever, because otherwise they're going to have nothing to their gift
shop. Nothing to release.
They're not doing very well, are they, Tottenham? They're not going to get... Because fifth, you and City blew fifth place Champions League football, didn't you, by both... which we haven't spent any time on.
I want to suggest it was almost deliberate.
You splurged, absolutely blew it, the pair of you. So what was our mate called it? The Euro Chokers. That was funny enough before we then got tonked by both of them. Well, not tonked by City. But yeah, it turns out the Euro Chokers are still a lot better than us.
We shouldn't have five teams in the Champions League anyway. It's painful.
Especially
enough.
If the fifth one's Tottenham.
I mean, when are we going to start?
You talk about that with your conscience.
Well, it also goes to another pet peeve of mine of calling it the Champions League when runners-up and also-rans get
fifths coming up. Exactly.
You get thirds and fourths in there. And
it's funny, isn't it? So who's going to win it now?
The Champions League?
Yeah.
Oh, Madrid and Bellingham, of course.
Madrid.
Bellingham, who again scored a last-minute winner against Barcelona.
I know.
For the second time this season.
I know. That must be bizarre, mustn't it? Because you just go to... And they look, you know, they're mental about football over there.
Do you know what the strange... I mean, it'd be interesting to... You know, again, no clean sheets podcast on Instagram. Let us know your feeling. But there's something about Bellingham. It's like it almost feels like I went to school with him or something. Like,
yeah, you love
I
him,
want him
don't
to do
you?
So well.
Yeah.
And I'm stunned with how well he's doing. It's like,
does
I've never met him in my life, unsurprisingly.
Odd as a pop round for Sunday dinner.
But there's just this, I don't know, there's like a real affection for just seeing a player from England do that. I mean, we've seen it before.
Well, it's what's fascinating, because what's unusual is, because he's not really done well. Was it Birmingham he was at? Where was he?
Was it Birmingham he started City. And then Dortmund?
I mean, that's what I mean. He didn't, like, we've seen them where they've left here to, like, Barcelona, Real Madrid, but they've left and they've been good players. But he just didn't even hang around, did he? Off to Dortmund, which was quite an unusual
move.
But
it's also just this, you know, like, he fully expects that he fits in and belongs there, like a Galactico at a time when the club didn't have any.
Yeah.
And there was this fantastic stat, this was even before the Barca game, where someone pointed out that he's scored more goals for Real Madrid this season than Beckham did during his entire time at Madrid.
Yeah.
And he's like, and like I said, there's this odd affection of, never met him. I see, there's occasionally on social media, you see tweets of, or videos, sorry, of him, you know, like there's one where he's coming off an away ground and he walks around the club's crest because he doesn't want to walk across it, or he'll stop for a fan when other players are walking past. So he's kind of this mix of, he's got the arrogance to believe he belongs on the biggest stage, which is great to see.
The humility that we like, don't we?
But then you see something...
Hang on, which crest did he not want to walk on? The Real Madrid one?
I want to say it was Atletico.
And he didn't walk on...
But there was, it might have been Sociedad or something.
What, he didn't walk on their crest or his own crest?
On their... So, you know, some clubs have their crest on the side of the pitch towards the players' tunnel.
And he's coming off.
And he just didn't want to walk across it. So you see him walk to the side of it and just walk around it. And you just think, you know what, you don't get that.
No.
Now, on that slight note of respect and things... You know, every sentence needs to go back to Tuesday. And how great was it to see Havertz really celebrating this?
Celebrate, yeah, in front of the Chelsea. Well,
as we said at the beginning, Steve,
he did seem to get a little bit carried away, and I couldn't help feeling, because I was pretty disappointed, the abuse Mason Mount got when he came on for Man United. All right, we were losing, but still, no. And we played properly booed. Well, hang on. What's he done? He's gone to another team. Probably he was sold, you know. I don't think he was agitating that much to leave. However, so I therefore can't help feeling that the happy-go-lucky, smiley Chelsea supporters at the Emirates, well, not the Emirates, it is the Emirates, sure. Etihad Emirates. I mean, it's basically just filthy, oil, misogyny-funded nonsense.
Teams at the top of the league.
Yeah, just dirty, dirty money. Not like ours.
But... I can't help feeling that the lovely lads were probably giving him a hard time, Havertz. And again, one of our best songs was about Havertz
and Roman buying him because he was just what we needed to win the Champions League.
And it was a great song. So I don't know how we can turn on him, because he did win us the Champions League, because, you know, 1-0 against City.
His celebrations probably helped.
So it looks like, I mean, you were there. Were they giving him a hard time, the Chelsea supporters? Were they booing him and stuff before he scored twice?
I mean, I almost, because you had these little desperately seeking Blues fans with their little Champions League cutouts because we won it.
Did they say that they won it twice?
You know, they're holding
it up. Did you get a bit bitter? That's okay. Look,
you scored so fast.
We didn't get a chance to really rub our noses.
Look what I made at home. And then it's just like, okay.
But that's true. Glad you reminded me, Steve, because you've made a mistake there, because we have won the Champions League twice.
I'm all for supporting Chelsea's desire to live in the past.
But that is where we are now.
If things were as bad as
We've won the Champions League twice. We've won the league, I think, 5 times since you last won it. Is it sounds about right?
You just hold on, grasp whatever you can.
If I was closer
to the championship than the top of the table, I would.
No, I don't think that's. Well, I need to measure that before I actually say it. I think points wise, you're right. We are definitely nearer the bottom than we are the top.
Well, look, let's give you a break. So, there's another thing that's really irritated me in the last week. It's a strange thing, considering it doesn't directly affect Arsenal. But twice, both in Manchester United's. Cup semi-final against Coventry, and I think the other was Aston Villa's European game. You've had this situation where a goalkeeper has been booked in normal time or extra time, whatever. But then apparently that doesn't carry over to the penalty shootouts, and on both occasions Onana and Martinez got booked again
in the penalty shootouts. But it's a different game.
But it's like a we start again.
Wow,
so
Steve,
they don't get sent off.
That's kind of pub quiz stuff that I need to know. That's outrageous. What's
but it's wrong,
about?
Right? It's just like in both occasions, a goalkeeper.
Imagine that. Imagine,
could
right?
You imagine if Onana was
you're
suddenly
sent off in the penalty shootout,
and by default you can't make subs, so you'd have to put a goal. You know, one of your other players.
You'd have to make John Terry the keeper.
So from an entertainment point of view, it definitely benefits to send them off.
Yeah, why book them if you can't? It's not. It's two yellows. You should.
But
be
yeah, I looked at it, and on both occasions, I watched the Aston Villa shootout with Martinez. And Martinez, anyone that knows football knows that his strength is mind games, yeah, you know, getting yeah. getting irritating the players, kicking the ball away, yeah, being a complete
in their
dick.
Face, yeah.
So you get booked for that.
But he knows it doesn't matter.
But he does it and he keeps doing it, so he's not going to get booked twice for it. That's the other thing. He knows, well, I did the exact same thing the next time. That's it. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
So, okay, I think that's enough of that nonsense. I think, frankly, it's been painful business. All I'm going to have to do, as you rightly spotted, Steve, is live in the past of the last two podcasts where I won everything. And just the good thing is, as you often point out, they keep coming thick and fast. So this time next week, we can talk about something else than Chelsea's abysmal week. But I still feel quite chipper about football because, as I said, I think we should finish on it. Gypsy Queen Legend beat... Tapping the
oh
handle,
gosh, how the mighty have fallen.
And as Chem probably said, football was the winner there, you see, Steve. No money, no unpleasantness.
I would like to know what odds you would have got at the start of the season for a £1 billion team to find comfort in Monday night football.
Well, sadly, I would have probably said 50-50.
Steve, well, thank you, not least, for turning up, Steve. Very good of you. I would have been sat here on my own.
For once, I can honestly say it's a pleasure.
It really was a pleasure.
Next week, mate.
Take care.
Yeah, you too.